Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity.
Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization.
Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future. It's October 27th, 2015, and this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth. We're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. And at Lupin, did you know that clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked? And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and, of course, a few surprises.
Our program is brought to you by Go Raw, truly a natural food made out of sprouted essences and delicious. If you're one of those supercharged people who are looking for health and taste, then check out Go Raw. Where should they check it out?
Oh, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, organic section of Costco. I even saw it in Safeway the other day. So go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
Did you hear that?
I always
that?
Wanted to say that. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about tonight's show. We picked a metaphysical cliche, God only knows. And I say, if God only knows... So if I know, I too am God. But what do you know? Something? But God knows everything. Oh, thank God. Everything would definitely be beyond me. God only knows. I am limited. It's like God picks up where I leave off. But what is God? God only knows.
I couldn't have said it any more convolutely, but I would have tried had it been up to me.
You have to read between the lines.
Really, read between the lines, and that's where the knowing of God happens.
That's right, between the lines.
So I've been revisiting Neil Donald Walsh's books, in particular the one Communion with God. I guess I needed to read it because I found it in a clothing exchange, except there in this clothing exchange were three copies of these books. And one of the things, of course, that God has communicated through conversations with God is that we are that. We are all that same life, essence, presence, God, beingness. We are just a part of it. We're a little point of view within this master knowing. But we have some of the same knowing, and we certainly have access to all the knowing that is available. But they started us off really kind of tiny.
Yeah, they gave us a brain that can contain just so much and could communicate so much. It can go only so far within this particular form. Maybe it's possible to consciously leave your form and enter into the ether of everything, but I have not been able to do that anyway, so I can only speak from my own experience, and I feel limited.
The other thing that he reminded me of was that imagine a room where there's food all over the table, but the table extends to all the edges of the room. There's this feast, but there's really no place to sit and enjoy the feast. So the infinite had to kind of invent another room. A place outside the room, but the irony was the room was taking up all of the room. God only knows. So there was no room for the appreciating the room because it was everywhere.
Talk about convoluted.
Well, what happened was that they created a space or allowed for the making of the space, which was all these infinite points of view. to show up endlessly. And we are that. And the challenge of our time is for those, what was the term, forward-looking people who can allow themselves, as our friend Charlie said the other night, who came over for dinner, be the change. And so part of what this program is about and part of what we're about is recognizing the change that needs to be by me.
And me. For me, the allness, which can be sort of equated with everything, the allness really requires letting go of everything that came before it, the things that hold us to the limitations. This little character that I created says, I am limited. God picks up where I leave off. But the thing is that her point of view is limited because we're only limited in comparison to something. We're not limited, you know, like, oh, they have more, I'm less. But if I know that I am all, then I never feel limited. And the all has to do with right here. Whatever this is all there is. There's nothing outside of here.
That's one of the suggestions that he makes in these books, is that we're not limited. He goes on to cite 10 beliefs, I guess you would call them, or conclusions about reality that set us off each one further and further down the path of error. The first one, these are illusions, is the illusion of need. Now keep in mind where we started, which was that the illusion, when we're aware of the illusion, is the part that was created, that's the second room, so we can view the whole and appreciate it. So we recognize it. If there wasn't anything, quote unquote, outside everything that is, now you see where we ended up there, in a complete contradiction. How could you be outside everything that is?
God only knows.
And yet, that's the illusion. But we have to remember that it's an illusion. It's play.
I don't know. You know, there's a point where the only time you can truly recognize that something isn't what you thought it was is when you get close to not being there anymore. You're far enough away to see where you were. And then you can realize that it's an illusion, because you're not really there anymore. But if you are in it, I think it's very hard to accept that as an illusion, because in it, it's all the feelings and everything else that's going on, and my journey to wholeness, my journey to the allness, my journey to the what is I call God, takes me to a certain point where I can look back and see that everything preceding this point of evolution is an illusion.
They had a showing of a film called A Chorus of Miracles, which was a interesting, nice little movie celebrating the 50th anniversary of A Course in Miracles. I met a lady who was attending the event, and we were talking about that whole notion of illusion. And she said, well, sometimes she prefers just the term temporary as a kind
of
substitute. Yeah,
exactly. I think of it as finite.
Finite. Temporary. But it's good to be able to just drop into that space of where God only knows, especially if you're challenged in needing to know, especially know who you are.
Kiss your lips. It's your time to realize what brings you bliss. God only knows, God only knows what makes the heart. Never gets old, make you feel like gold. Steady as a drum is a heart. Never Cause life is too short and the days are long. You better get along. God only knows what makes a heartbeat. We're not sure yet what it is that you're meant to do. Don't worry, child. It'll come in time.
Rochelle, what makes the heart beat?
God only knows. You know, I realized that that sense of knowing has to do with the mystery, because the mystery is unknown. And the sense of knowing, we want to know the mystery. But because our brains can take in only so much and give forth only so much within these bodies, we try to reduce the mystery, the allness, to the finite consistently. We make God into a parent, somebody we know and have dinner with. We make God into a wrathful being, you know, with huge bushy beard and lots of hair.
Handing out money. By the way, speaking of knowing, do you want to know who sang that?
Yes.
Oh, Eliza Rose Vera.
Now, wouldn't you say that the name of that was God Only Knows?
How'd you know?
God Only Knows.
So back to knowing. I want to invite Professor Umbridge in, because we're getting into an area that I know he's tickled to explore with us, and that's the whole notion of knowing. Professor, do you have something to say about that? Well, of course I have something to say about it, young man. I am always verbositing things to say about things that I would like to think I know about, but that's the whole thing about knowing. What is it that you really know, and how is it that you know it, and how would you know it when you know it? Now, for example, Descartes said, you know, I think, therefore I am, but he didn't say I know, therefore I think, or I think before I am thinking, not knowing.
Well, I know, therefore I know.
That's right. I think, therefore I know. No, he didn't. And that has to do with the fact that being precedes everything. I am. God said his name was when that fellow, what was his name, from Jewish fellow from Sinai or someplace like that. I can't remember what. Moses. Yes. Nice gentleman. Very good. I wish I had known him at that time. I love the thing he did with the commandment. Talk about a wonderful advertising campaign. I thought it was just delightful. Tablets, and they came down, and there they were, and do this, and don't do that, and shape up and get with it. And that was a certain level of knowing that people had at the time. But now we're invited into another depth of knowing. And I know you know what that is. And that is precisely what you just said, Rochelle.
Yeah, beyond the knowing.
That's right. And here's the thing, though. You have the opportunity, if you go into the unknown, to extract something from it at any time you want.
But you don't know, because it's beyond knowing, therefore you can't say what it is, but you get it. Something in you feels it.
Even now as I'm talking, I don't know what I'm going to say. I rather suspect it will be said with, well, English to begin with, but beyond that, I don't really know what will come out of my mouth.
Because we live in the moment of expression, and when we give forth to that moment of expression, we express ourselves in the moment.
Very good, my dear, very good. But I think that's all I have to contribute to. But I would, yes, in a moment, very good. Lady Umbridge, did you hear Rochelle tonight? It's...
Oh, I did. I think she and I have been cavorting.
Very good, very yes. Good. I don't know if the two of you wanted to talk together for a minute or not.
I think that we know things differently. We know them differently, and therefore we think they are different things. You perceive something one way, like people walking around a tree. Like somebody says, well, this tree looks like this, you know, and the other person standing on the other side of the tree goes, oh, this tree looks like this. They all think that they're, you know, having a confusion. But it's still the same tree. Nothing has really changed. It's just the way we perceive things. And we think that if we perceive something, we know it. But all we know is our perception of it. Wouldn't you say so? I certainly would, Lady Umbridge. My gosh, of course. I've been saying that for the longest time. Thank you for affirming what I believe to be so.
And this is Barney. I'd like to know if I can kind of jump in here. I got a comment. I was listening to that Umbridge's couple, nice couple, very nice. I met them one time. They were talking about the knowing and the unknowing, and the professor, of course, implied that he was part of the unknowing and ever moving more deeply into it. And I myself have found that the unknowing continues to beckon me. Now, the only thing I have to do, though, is I got this fear that keeps coming up every time I start into the unknown, because I think at a certain level that unless I control my reality, especially what's going to be coming in the future, especially in the unknown, my God, that's where I have to make sure that I am in control. However, the universe seems to have this very funny, mischievous nature, because it basically holds out the illusion of control. Keeps dangling it like a carrot, and you're reaching for it, control, 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 and you never, ever have it.
But so, you have the illusion of control.
Very short-lived, especially if you think of the length of the life that we most have. For those of you, though, who, like me, want a long life, like forever, why wouldn't I want a forever life? What am I attached to, a not-forever life? You'd think more people would be interested in exploring that option, since it's clear that we're only here for a very short amount of time. God only knows why it was so short. You know, I thought for sure they'd give us a century or two.
Well, it's longer than a pussycat.
Well, it's true there. It is longer than a lot of other species. There are some species that, like, come alive in the day, and by nighttime, they're history. But that means, though, they have a lot of history in their little species culture, because they're all just here for a day and they're just building up history as fast as they can.
I keep thinking that each one of us is part of this collective or this allness. Errol, I think you mentioned it at the very beginning of the show. There's this sense that we keep bumping off each other, but every time we let go and join, being willing to let go of our particular form to create a brand new form with another, and we can expand, recreate, and in a sense create anew that which is the mystery.
Well, here's another thing he said in the book. He said, you're co-creating evolution. It's not something that's happening to you. Of course, this is not a new thought, but it was great to have it reiterated by none other than God in the conversation, the God that only knows. He was like there, so we could ask him, what do you know? And he would elaborate. As a matter of fact, in all the different books, I've read so many books where God, like, speaking straight at me, not the least of which was the Boy Scout manual.
Is that you, Barney?
It was me slipping in there, sweetheart. I tried to kind of ride in on Errol's voice there and thinking you wouldn't notice. But the fact is that there are all these words. Each word is a slinging out, like a slingshot, coming together out there in a meaningful little structures. And then we dive into those structures with all that meaning. Oh, this is a frog. This is a theory of relativity. This is my trip to Monaco. Whatever it is, and you dive into it. And with each dive, as you immerse yourselves, and by the way, I found out recently that the word baptism means immersion, which is interesting. So when you think about it, you're baptized. That means you're immersed into a situation like Jesus, Yeshua, when he was immersed in the baptism and he totally surrendered. That's what it was. He totally surrendered to the mystery.
I had that experience. Shortly after having my epiphany of Yeshua, I was by the Mediterranean. I went down to the water, and this is not the same day, but I went down to the water, and I heard go under and come up three times. And I went under the water. I don't know why, it was three times. And I came up. And each time I came up, the salt water would get on my eyelashes and create this immense prism of color. And then I'd go down again and I'd come up. And again, it was like that. And again, and I don't know, it was three times, but I felt this incredible peace. So I had an immersion.
God only knows that we can do no more or less than he'll allow. Well, God only knows that we mean well. God knows that we just don't know how. Darkness settles on the ground, leaves the day stumbling blind. Coming to a quiet close, and maybe just in time. We've almost lost the heart to know how to keep our best in mind. We've almost lost the heart to know how to keep our best in mind. But what will pass for mercy now will practice unforgivingly. As if might and will make right, or either one could make us free. As if might and will make right, or either one free. Lovers laugh and cross this way, they're weaving out into the street. It seems we never were so young, or it was never quite so sweet. But the world is always beautiful when it's seen in full retreat. The worst of life looks beautiful as it slips away in full retreat. God only knows that we can do no more or less than he'll allow. Well, God only knows that we mean well. God knows that we just don't know how. But I try to be your light and love. Well, I've tried to be your light and love, and I'll pray that is enough for now.
Bonnie Raitt. No, that was God Only Knows.
Oh, excuse well, me. Thank you.
Yeah. He had to remind me, though, that he knew. Because I forgot. I thought somebody else knew. That had such a heart and deep feeling to me. It felt like it really struggled. We almost lost the heart to know how to keep our best in mind. That's such a powerful image, and it does describe a lot of what seems to be going on. We almost lost the heart to know how to keep our best in mind. If we think about what's happening in our world and all the fractions and tumbling and everything, you know, cavorting, and it's a mad life, can't control you, predictable, unpredictable way. And it's a cacophony of forces doing this dance that alternates between banging into each other's parts and flowing into just some kind of sweeping, liquid, silver-like majesty.
Pretty image. I realize that there's this state of evolution where our me-ness, which is different than our am-ness.
Yes, I noticed that. Are they having a me-way meeting? They had an am-way meeting.
Me-ways have been operating a long time. And I think that's the switch that has to be made. I mean, you have to move from me to am in order to know that me is an illusion.
Rochelle, this is amazing. I've got a me way here to talk to us tonight. What's your name?
I'm me way, Jack me way. And yes, I come from the me way, and we were a slow evolution from the my way, but they're our first cousins. Me ways and the my ways. And we live up in the trees and look down and insist that everything is, well, if not my way, at least me way.
Well, thanks, Jack.
God, where did he come from?
I would like to just say one more thing that I found out about this. That is, God only knows. Drives me nuts.
Yep. I think he nailed it. There's something about that. So I'm very aware that we have this new grandchild. Actually, she's our only grandchild.
She's still pretty new.
She's new. Like, her diaper was being changed. There's four of us around the table watching this amazing feat of changing a diaper and looking at this little baby's parts. It's marvelous. She's 8 months old. And there's
she can already poop.
And she can poop, you know, and she can pee. And we're like in awe. And so if you don't think that that little being believes she's the center of the world, you're mistaken. She is the center of the world. And then we get to this place where others start mattering. Like, she did this amazing thing. We don't know if it was conscious or what happened, but she was playing with these cloths that wipe up her saliva, nappies or something they call them, bibs. There were two of them, and she grabbed for them, and she took them, and she was looking at me, and she handed them to me. She put them in my hand, and my son was sitting there, and he went, "She just gave that to you. That's amazing." And she never did it again.
You know why? Because you didn't give it back. She had given it to you again. She just held on to it.
No, I did give it back to her, but then she didn't give it back to me again. So it was like a one-moment thing, but that sense that there was other there. It wasn't just about her. She gave me something. And that seems like a next stage in evolution when the other exists too and becomes part of your world. It's just not all about you. And when that happens exponentially, you start moving towards the am rather than the me.
And of course, that's the illusion that you were not that. See, that's the heart of the illusion.
What do you mean you were not that?
Just a second. Rabbi, you want to take that one?
Yeah, the heart of the illusion. I think you're getting right down to it. Well, this is Rabbi Greenberg, and you're getting down to the very center where the little itching is that comes with life. It's like constantly itching. You have an itch, and so you try and make more money, or you do this, and it keeps itching, and it throws you around this way and that, with the itching, and you're scratching, and the itching. And, hey, it's not a pleasant thing, but it's what a lot of people, life is doing with itself now. And so the illusion is that the am, that we're to become the am, but if we already are the am, it has to be an illusion that we are becoming the am. And that's when you say to yourself, God only knows.
Okay, I'm trying to believe. Yes, I do think there's a point where you think that the I am is something that you can attain, which means you're not there for sure, because I think as we are there, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
So the big thing that people have to realize, it's a big thing, but it's not a big step. It's a big thing, but a little step. But the little step is to start off, if nothing else, ask the question, do I know all there is to know? Come on.
Do I know everything there is to know? No.
Whoever you, the listening audience, hey out there, those of you
how can I possibly know everything there is to know?
Of course. And that's what I actually learned from the Course in Miracles. I read that book too, and it was saying, like, if nothing else, ask a person if they can't agree to anything, like this possibility, this hope, this faith in God. They may not know what they're thinking or talking about, but the one thing they can probably say, no, I don't know all there is to know. And that could be a little opening that might begin to help the person start opening up and becoming like available to all the am that is not him just going out amming, but it's all the other ams that are coming in amming him. And so we have an amming squared, I guess you'd call it. God only knows.
God only knows is correct. Oh, my.
Well, one thing is to me is vital, that everyone really gets the opportunity to flower. As a dancer, the way I look at it is, I hope you can dance.
I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Never one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith the fighting. When you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never. Taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. If you come close to sun out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing vent. When you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
Time is a wheel in constant motion, always rolling us along. Gary Underwood. But I like the direction we're headed, and that is...
Who? We.
Whoever wants to identify with the we that's going in the direction that I like. Okay?
Okay, the we that's moving towards the am.
Yes, except it's such a contradiction that it makes me think I need to go backwards and forwards at the same time.
Well, it's really interesting because I'm reading this thing about energy. It's a movement. It doesn't just move forward, but it moves back and forth. And of course, if you think about that, the movement of whatever is moving, you know, if it moves back and forth, it would create more energy. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's fascinating to think that we know so little when we think we know so much.
introduce now. This is Father O'Malley.
I was wondering you were going to get here, Father.
I couldn't resist about... It's a funny image. You see these little beings, you know, like wobbling around there, and, you know, some wobble faster than the others, but basically they're all wobbling. And they're thinking these thoughts, and they're really, really teeny tiny, though, and I've observed that in myself. I'm one of these teeny tiny tots that are just bumping around there on this one little tiny, teeny tiny little planet way out there in the huge, vast, infinitely expanding universe. The whole thing.
I was thinking that if we move around like that, we gather stuff to you, and that stuff may be the thing that moves you into the field of allness.
Well, that's why I like whether you're wedded with that alternating current, so to speak, that movement that goes back and forth and back and forth. It's like life is always breathing, isn't it?
Now, yes, it is.
It's the in and then it goes out. And if you think of it as a continuum, you want to go this way, this for a while. Yes, I think I'll inhale for a while. Oh, how long you want to inhale? Oh, that's enough. And I'll exhale. And I exhale. Love that process. I do it all day long.
So do I. If we don't think of anything else, we all have that in common. We all respirate. Every single human being on the planet respirates.
Hung left. Father O'Malley, that's such a funny image as I imagine all these little, what you call them, little teensy totters or something. And they're all like bumping around and they're having this flash. What are those little things in cartoons that they have above?
It's a bubble with words in it.
If you could imagine all humanity, like we're watching it, and they all got these little bubbles, and we see their thoughts in terms of these bubbles. We have a reporter comes into them, and he starts interviewing them. And so he's asking a question, right? Mm-hmm. And these little beings are having this bubble about what their thoughts are. And then they say what they say.
Oh, you're a silly man. But I totally believe you. I mean, only God knows why, but but I think it's funny when you add the why to the ending
God
of that.
God only knows why.
Oh, God only knows why.
Speaking of why, I was listening to a commentator talk about the election that's beginning to gather interest, as it does every so often, 4 years, in terms of the presidential election. It gathers so much significance to it. This makes me laugh because all this energy gets focused on this person. Not that they don't have some power and influence, but if you could gather that energy, they get so focused on the president, gather that enthusiasm and that drive that is beginning to take over in certain circles in the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and other parties where they're not too drunk to be able to pay attention.
Drinking parties you're talking about. Right. God only knows why.
But if you could gather that, for that to happen, we need to recognize that that which we hope for and work toward in getting our guy or gal elected can't be achieved by our guy or gal, but with the same enthusiasm, embrace the way that it can be achieved. And for that, I want to bring in Senator Beauregard to talk about that. Senator, go on in.
Well, I'm glad you got back to me there, boy. As you know, I have been pushing this platform because I think I represent the human party. And the platform is... it's a party, and our job is to make it possible for more people to come to the party. It's pretty simple. The human party. So you stick in something like the government, or which is kind of a managing affairs kind of organization to manage all the disparity and see if it can find some balance and some justice. And you all get along, basically, is the job of government. Come on, let's find a way to get along. And that get along is the key, and that's why people need to understand it's not just getting along, which means moving up your evolutionary ladder, like you were mentioning before, but it's also y'all getting along there amongst yourselves, yeah, because the only way you're going to be able to continue to appreciate and have the freedom, which you seem to so cherish, is if you all learn to get along, because otherwise the freedom will go. It may not look like you're losing your vote.
Yeah, but Senator, you have to take into account that when we're little, remember, the world revolves around us. We're not about getting along with other people. We want it. We want, we take, we take. It's about us, me. So when we're at that point, and when we're in that state, you know what you're talking about, we don't get along. If we got along, we would lose me.
Well, let me address that remark. I think that's a very valid point of view, that we don't get along. Well, that's the whole point, though. We are all in the process of learning to get along better and better. So that's why I recommend that people get back in touch with the fundamental mission of the United States of America, which starts off with to form a more perfect union. Now, if that isn't like get along, really get along, I don't know what is. Form a more perfect union, it just seems like people who are about forming a more perfect union would be exploring the option, at the very least, of learning to get along.
One would think, but like I said, you can create a document, even a mission statement, and it can take hundreds of years before the constituents, the populace, really grasp what that means. It's there as a place to go, but that doesn't mean you're going to get there just because you think so.
I understand that, but there are a lot of folks out there that don't even know they have the option, and I feel a personal responsibility as a public servant to inform people that they have options. Because a lot of people think that the only options is to do what it takes to make things worse.
Well, that's why, because only God knows.
God only knows, if you ask me.
I mean, why? It's like that. You know,
well, it's like that, as you said, because we're evolving. But we need to be voices and presences of that alternative, because a lot of people just don't even know that it exists. And I feel that's our job as public servants, to serve up the possibility that the knowing is available, and it's just as good as the God only knows knowing, and that everyone can know along right with it.
Well, thank you, Senator. Are you running?
I am running as fast as I can. Every day I get up and I run. I run to the bathroom, usually the first thing I do.
But I think that's FYI.
That's right, FYI.
No, it isn't. I don't know. I can't figure out this new language. What is it? More than we want.
For your information.
No, what is it? More than we wanted.
More information than you wanted. Yeah. I don't know what they call that. MFW. That's it. It's the MFW.
I don't think that's it, but okay.
I want to encourage you to, here's what I would like to leave you with, just one thought. If we could put as much energy to getting out the love as we do to getting out the vote, then we would be able to determine the result of the selection. Or some people might say, this election.
Oh, that's very funny. God only knows, Beauregard.
Okay, so let's kind of get grounded here. We're talking the phrase, God only knows, and knowing and not knowing, and that's why we're here doing Insight Out. I hope you know that. The Naked Truth. I'm actually sitting, but never mind.
More information than we need.
That's right. Good to have that option, because it's a taste of freedom, being totally exposed and available to, in this case, the atmosphere and the chair upon which I'm sitting.
And the chair is... cares the least. I don't know. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the chair cares the most, for all I know. But it seems that it doesn't care.
I wrote this little story about a little chair that actually has a consciousness and it talks. I'm going to have to look for it. And
yeah, not tonight, because God only knows how much time we've got left.
Okay, so that brings up another option, and that's the eternal time versus the illusionary time. It's almost like time comes into existence so we don't all get stuck in the exact same place at the same time.
Oh, God only knows what you're talking about, but that's okay. I guess I feel like time, like everything else, once again, early evolution. You need to move your life into segments so that you feel secure somehow. I think time makes us feel secure. When we become so immersed in the now is timelessness.
Well, there's the paradox again. And it is indeed just an ongoing paradox of this juxtaposition of this illusion, time, like you can't actually, you know, well, you certainly can't feel it, but you can think about it. And that brings me back to music. I think that's why music is so fabulous as a way to get present and to really, well, as we say, God only knows.
God only knows why she had to go. God only knows how she is up there. Oh, how she is. Well, I've heard you're not here anymore. Seems like you left without notice. And I hope you are safe up there. Oh, and even when the road is rough, and even when you don't have a place up there, I hope you're safe. And only time will tell. You've left an empty spot behind. And I wonder why you left in such a hurry. And I hope you don't lose yourself out there. Don't lose yourself out there. And even when the road is rough, and even when you don't have a place up there, I hope you're safe. Only time will tell. God only knows why she had to go. God only knows.
Only time will tell.
No, God only knows.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that. What was I doing? God only knows.
God only knows. I assume that song, the way it says, like somebody died and was gone quickly. And that's, it sounded like who he was singing to and about, they were gone. Zip. And he was hoping that wherever they may have gone, they were okay.
Who was singing that?
Byron Bay.
Oh, Byron Bay.
I think it helps to appreciate the song to know that it's possibly about someone who's one of the now dearly departed. And I'd like to just talk a little bit here about the dearly departed, if you don't mind my saying so. This is Father O'Malley. Call him the dear departed because a lot of them weren't so dear before they departed. And we wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. Since they can't say anything about it, because they're now the departed, we figure this is a time to at least us think of them as a dear soul, even if so many others perhaps did not.
Well, maybe they thought of them as dear souls, but not dear people.
That's usually the case there. It's what we call our enemies and the people we don't like and do it like you were talking about. On this show I was listening to tonight, he was talking about Hillary there, and she was asked who her enemies are. Thinking the debate, that's what it was. I was listening to the American debate, and she listed them. Mm-hmm. She put it out there. She didn't say, well, I don't really have enemies.
Well, I think it's along with everybody in all the constituencies, and that's why I speak bullshitese. But she didn't have to do that there to the garden. She said it, she ended firmly with the Republicans. They're her enemies.
Well, yes, because anybody's out to get you and destroy you or make you less definitely falls into the category of enemy.
That's why I really appreciate the senator's whole point of view there, that we need to get with the program. Preamble, wasn't it? Form a more perfect union. Wow, that's a great opener. And then establish justice. Whoa, man, that's something to shoot for. Well, we are trying. Long way to go, but we've made some strides. We actually do have countries run by the rule of law, even though people do their best to bend it to their own ends. But nevertheless, it's a valiant and gallant experiment, democracy. And I think we won't be successful unless we get back to, as the senator says, that premise. It's your domestic tranquility. Man, there's a lot of homes. There's a lot of people who are living not tranquil domestic lives.
So there were the Greeks, you know, democracy, who really tried working with it. But there was a fall of Greece, which makes me believe that it's a germ in the ground. And we have to grow up to be able to truly massage it into the magnificent thing it is.
Do you know why Greek fell? Because it tripped. Yeah.
Oh, Errol, don't, you can't top it, so just leave it at that. That was the punchline. Don't explain it. It was just too funny. Okay. They fell because they tripped. Okay, I can deal with that.
Okay, all you United States, since we're going to get ready to take off here and leave you to your own devices.
Hopefully, whether we do or not, you'll be left to your own devices. Whether we leave you or you leave us or you're not even know we exist.
I hope you have as much fun with your devices as I have with my devices.
Oh, God. God only knows.
So let's hear it for the American mission and how you're getting more unified with yourself and being more just with yourself and more peace at home with yourself. And what was the next one? Provide for the common defense, feeling more safe and secure with yourself. And then, of course, feeling healthy in yourself. Promote the well-being. And not last but least, experiencing the incredible blessings of liberty, which you get from doing all those other things, which has the capacity to express and appreciate and give talent to your own version of being the love.
God only knows.
So with that said, as the representatives of the Inside Out party constituency, I like that, the human party. Make sure everybody gets to the party. That's a great premise. But we're going to say goodnight, and what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
God only knows.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.